This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in loop on Sports Radio 610. We're broadcasting live from the Twin Peaks here on Kirby, right at Southwest Freeway. Come out, say what's up. You'll see our guys seated out here because you have an opportunity to sign up for stuff. You know, we don't ever come empty-handed when we come out to the places, so come out. But then it's also just a great day to watch the TV, see all the various NCAA tournament stuff happening. In fact, somebody was like, I love sports, but college basketball is deeply boring or what have you. And I'm like, you don't even really have to love basketball. That's the beauty of this day. Like, maybe later on in the tournament, you really got to be able to tap into the basketball of it all. I feel like part of the real fun of it is just... it's almost red zone for basketball in that you have your investment in with your bracket and then you just watch the ends of games and see how things shake out.
It's basketball adjacent. It really is. It's about the bracket. It's about the upsets. It's about the finishes. It's about the madness. And people who – and how many times, you know, do you say – well, I didn't know you like sports. Why are you in this? No, they like the brackets.
Yeah,
brackets,
this is
what it's all about.
This is like a perfect thing for offices to be a part of.
Perfect.
Because my wife, she hit me up yesterday, like, "Hey, can you fill out the bracket for me?" She said, "The office is doing the bracket." I'm like, "Damn, really? Y'all doing the bracket?"
It's just adjacent.
It's a
to
big
basketball.
Deal.
Basketball is sort of the vessel, you know, toward what we really love about this day,
which is like gambling,
and competing, brackets.
Getting off work.
Yeah.
Things of that nature. All right. Mm-hmm. Now let's go around the NFL. And obviously one of the biggest things that happened in the NFL yesterday actually was within the purview of the Houston Texans. We found out as like another shot to the arm after, you know, the Texans actually make an addition, a free agent addition on the offensive line in Cam Robinson. They also get an extension done. We talked about this. We'd kind of seen rumors and reporting towards this end that Danielle Hunter was interested in an extension, and it seems like that came to fruition. 1 year additional on as an extension for Danielle Hunter. 1 year extension, and the number is, it was like 35, thereabouts.
35.6. You got $100,000 more than Max Crosby per year.
You know, sometimes
I got to believe that was a part of it.
No, not even like got to believe. It absolutely is. Yeah. It's amazing how these things happen where, you know, it's just give me a dollar more. And obviously in this sense, it's not going to be a dollar. But just just give me one unit more than this other situation over here. Yeah, I mean, what was your take on it, seeing Danielle Hunter get that extension there? And I mean, not an incredibly long extension, but add another year on top of it.
And not a huge surprise. It seemed to be as this was one of the things that the Texans were going to do. You know, my big takeaway is, first of all, you know, man, I mean, it just sort of highlights how good this defense is potentially going to be. I mean, it's so... so set, and now you got happy players. You got happy players making money, and then the second part is, you know, we've been saying for quite a while now, you know, Danielle Hunter truly is one of the, you know, I guess overlooked, overshadowed defensive rush ends in the NFL. Well, he's not anymore. I mean, he's not anymore. He's on a bona fide contending team. He's the second highest paid rush end in the league. He's getting the notoriety and the money that he probably has deserved for a while.
Yeah, I think that's a great point to note, is that it seems like one of the things that this organization has been doing a really good job of is trying to make sure that all the dudes are happy with their compensation.
Yeah.
Right? We mentioned, and I was thinking more about it, just the ways in which the, you know, Nick Caserio is seemingly going with the maximum 3-year extension, and that also seems to kind of make sure that we're not getting into a place where in year 3 of a 5-year deal you're looking at a player that's like ready to try and agitate and try and get a different contract situated, which again is also, I imagine, about not more things than this, but in part about trying to make sure that everybody is still happy with their compensation, feel like they're, you know, they can get to where they can make more money, and that they're focused then on, you know, just doing good stuff. And it, I mean, I don't know that agitate would be the right word there, or the word that I would choose to use for Danielle Hunter. Mm-hmm. But I mean, once that is expressed for him, and you know that you're getting him at a value, and he's been incredible. I mean, he's a Pro Bowl in each of his last, what, 5 seasons? Mm-hmm. And he's been great for you. Like, he has been absolutely great. I think he surpassed the expectations for him last year.
I think it, certainly at the end. I mean, certainly he came on strong and did that. But he was really good in just pressures all year long, and that's as effective as anything, just getting the pressure on there. And then the combination of him and Will and – I mean, this is a scary defense. We're going to be talking about the offense and what, you know, what they were and what they might be and offensive line possibility. This is a scary, scary defense that's going to be at the top of the NFL. And as I mentioned at the very start, they're happy. I mean, you're getting some happy players out there.
Plus, I mean, this adds – I mean, and I'm sure this is probably somewhat secondary. I think trying to appease the player and obviously pay him according to what his value is. It seems like the initial estimation per Texans cap, again, does a fantastic job this time of year and every time of year, if we're going to be completely honest. The initial estimation is that this will clear up maybe like $3 million in cap space as well. So a little bit of a cap savings as well, helping you navigate what is, you know, the salary cap. And, again, pointing to the idea that the salary cap isn't real. Right, Lopez?
I've said it a number of times. You can say it with me. There are people in those buildings whose entire job is to make sure the cap works.
And inevitably
they do.
I'm just being a jerk. No, that's
But seriously though, the way these contracts are structured, you know, toward the ends of them, you're going to be able to sign some other guys.
Yeah.
You know.
Or at the very least get yourself to a place where if you restructure, the back end does not feel as painful as sometimes it can be if you have not considered that on the front end. So another salute to Nick Caserio, who, again, letting him hang. Mm-hmm. Like, Nick Caserio has been in his bag in some ways in trying to navigate this offseason. We'll circle back around to that offensive line, because that's been the touchy subject in all of this. Some other things around the NFL. Stephon Diggs, who remains a free agent, visited the Patriots yesterday. It's his first free agent visit. And obviously, like, you know, well after, I think a lot of the activity has really started to pop off. Not saying that it's done by any means, but I think we started to get to a point where maybe we were, and I guess maybe I should just speak for myself, I was starting to think, is he going to be a guy who signs after the draft when you see teams have a good idea of what they need and then, you know, who they want to allot some of their usage to? And then maybe then you go for a Stephon Diggs for a market. But it seems like, I mean, he's obviously getting out there and getting an opportunity of or an understanding of who's out there and who wants him, and you know what the cost might be. So that could still be the case, but do you anticipate maybe Stephon Diggs maybe signing before the draft now, seeing as he's starting to go on free agent?
I think the probability is going up. You know, when you have a visit like that right now before the draft, you know, I think the probability is definitely going up. Also, I think it's kind of – we hate him, but the Patriots are kind of having a good offseason. You know, they're doing pretty well with some of the things they're doing, and they have draft picks, et cetera. But, no, I think this definitely it's a possibility that he could sign before.
I think that's interesting, just kind of thinking about it. Have you considered the possibility of, you know, a reuniting with Stephon Diggs? Because I saw yesterday, you know, the on the YouTube, there was a few people kind of going back and forth about it. Like, why would the Texans go back there? But, I mean, he looked he still looked like a dude that could do a lot of the things that you wanted to. And, I mean, he was in that slot, but that felt like that was more of a consideration for Bobby Slowick in the offense that they were trying to run. And then also, of course, like you had Tank Dell, who you wanted to use more on the outside with the speed to attack the tops of defenses and such. Without Tank Dell and with Christian Kirk, it feels like the natural position that you would want to put Stephon Diggs is out on the edge, and you know he's capable of it. So I don't think that like having Christian Kirk would mean that you couldn't. It would just, I imagine that the decision would just be, do you think he still has it, and are you able to agree on a number that works for both sides?
Well, that
wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
The number is going to come in hand, is going to be, you know, be very important. But, no, he has it in him. He's capable of doing it. I don't think it's necessarily a deal breaker, you know, that you have Christian Kirk here by any stretch.
Some other things that are around the NFL. We mentioned yesterday one of these things, but the NFL has officially now had some rule change proposals that have been brought to the table by various places. We mentioned that the Green Bay Packers put it on their name that they are looking to prohibit offensive players from pushing a teammate who is lined up directly behind the snapper. And so that would be, in layman's terms, they're trying to get rid of the tush push. So that's there. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, there's a couple of other rule changes. And real quick before I move forward, tush push. Do you think that gets changed? Are you in on it?
I think it's a higher probability than most people might think, simply because it's the owners making the decision. As I mentioned yesterday, owners, if they can't have it, they don't want it in the league. And the only ones that have it is the Philadelphia Eagles.
I found this one to be interesting. This one was brought up by the Detroit Lions. It's a rule change to eliminate an automatic first down as a penalty that is imposed for defensive holding and illegal contact.
Yeah, look, there were two rules changes proposed. There have been two proposed by the Lions. I think one's very good for the Texans, and one might be bad for the Texans.
Okay.
So the other one is the division winners automatically get a home playoff win.
Yep.
A home playoff game. Well, that's not necessarily good for the Texans, because the only way they've played at home in the postseason is with a division win.
Yeah, if you looked, obviously, last year, they would have been the fifth seed,
yes,
rather than the four.
They would have been on the road.
Yes.
And so that's the one that's potentially bad for the Texans if this continues. Now, you know, we think maybe they're going to be have a better record and be able to do that. But if they just win the division, as they did last year, they'll play on the road. So potentially, and they've always done that, so potentially a bad one for the Texans. The good one for the Texans.
Can we stay there for a second, though? Because I feel like there's clearly you can narrow it down to the Texans, and I think that that's 100% fair. Mm-hmm. Do you like the idea just in general in practice, the idea of maybe doing kind of what the NBA did, where you de-emphasize the impact of divisions? And, I mean, obviously you reward more of the teams who have just, like, good records flatly because, you know, it always feels weird to see a team that has a good record and a better record than the team that's hosting them in that instance. Do you feel like there's adverse effects? Because I keep looking at it and I go, yeah, you can, you know, that would be a reward in the postseason, but I feel like you would undercut, again, pointing to basketball, you undercut the value of divisions, and it feels like in football that matters so, so much.
But does it? I mean, division titles are cool, and you hang a banner or whatever you do, you celebrate it, sell some T-shirts and all that. I don't look at the NFL as, yeah, but they won the division. I just don't look at it that way. I look at it kind of like the NBA, like, you know, who are the best teams? No, I like this in a general sense, because the other thing is, yes, you play six division games. Well, there's 11 others, you know,
most
of them in your conference, and if you're, you know, if you win a bad division as the Texans did last year, and there are other teams that are just frankly better than you, I think you need to reward them, you know, especially if you probably have played them in the regular season or could have played them in the regular season, and then they got to come to you for the postseason.
And I think you're right in that regard. And, again, also this texture on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line is right from the 8-2. Hate the rule, especially for NFL. Strength of schedule is different, especially when you talk about, like you mentioned, right, the AFC South hasn't been the strongest conference, to put it lightly. The thing for me, though, is I go above it, right? And this is something that we talk about sometimes, which is, like, the two purposes in sports, where one of them is to make a competitive league and the other one is to have a product. Mm-hmm. I think from the product side, I think the entertainment value that comes from having these divisional rivalries, and that I think those bonds are weakened when you are not, like, actively thinking about this as a competition within yourselves to race for this one thing. As much as you're right that a division championship is not something that, like, any particular team or
who hangs their hat on,
yeah. But I think it ends up being a point of pride amongst the four teams in that division, and I think that engenders a lot of energy in these divisions towards, I mean, for fans and everything. Like, I think that is a level of energy that keeps the NFL in a place where people love it. People love that feeling, and I don't want to lose part of that. That's where you start doing the hogs get slaughtered.
I don't think it changes that. Like, I'm not going to hate Amy Adams Trunk any less. I'm not going to appreciate a division championship any less. But if it's a week,
you'll appreciate a division championship less inherently.
Well, I don't appreciate them a lot anyway, as it is now. But let's put it the other way. Let's say the Texans are 13-4 this coming season, and second. Well, this is fantasy world. But let's say they're 11-6 and second in their division, and you know, and they have to go on the road against a 9-8 team. How would you feel about that?
I mean, I wouldn't love it, but I think that, again, from the competitive standpoint, like, I see the point. I wonder if you lose some of the vigor that comes with the rivalries that are built through having these divisions.
I don't think you will. The rivalries aren't going to change. When the Texans play, you know, the Jaguars or the Titans or the Colts, I'm not going to feel any different about the game. Oh, it doesn't mean as much. You know, I'll feel the exact same way. But if they get screwed and have to go on the road in the first round, I'll feel pretty bad about that. Yeah, so I think that's the one. Then the other one is, I think this helps the Texans. No automatic first down on defensive holding, also proposed by the Detroit Lions. I love this for the Texans. I love it for, I think, every defense coordinator, every team really should love this. Let's give you a for instance. It's third down and 12. And they complete a 4-yard pass. Oh, sorry, defensive holding. That's automatic first down?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I always hated that.
Are you kidding me? I hate that. I hate it right now. But here's the other thing that's really good for the Texans. When you have a great secondary, you love this rule. And the reason is, you know, you're really good in coverage. And let's say somehow, some way, you know, they kind of snag you with a little hold of a jersey or something, you know, 6 yards down the field or whatever it might be, then all of a sudden, man, you know, now we got to start all over.
Yeah, I mean, it changes the risk assessment, yeah. Right? Like, obviously, the idea of having a harsh penalty is that you hope that the consideration on the front end changes, mm-hmm. right? You hope the teams go, ooh, or, you know, whoever yeah. on the other side goes, ooh, that penalty is too hefty for me to take a chance on doing it.
Yeah.
If you are operating in that place and you're not just operating where, you know, it just whatever happens, happens, right? If you're thinking ahead of it, I imagine that this allows or this kind of puts teams in places where we're willing to be a little bit more aggressive because mm-hmm. we'll take 5 yards if we're not automatically yes. giving up a first down. And that's great for a team like the Texans, in your point, who like to be physical, yeah. right? Who want to kind of
and they're
have
really good in the secondary,
100%. So no, I do love that as a possibility. And then also another potential rule change from Philadelphia. It wants to align the postseason and regular season overtime rules by granting both teams an opportunity to possess the ball in the overtime. So basically, what you see in the postseason, where both teams get an opportunity at the football, no matter if they score a touchdown or not, that would go to the regular season. And I'm definitely going to be alone in this. I don't want that. I like the idea.
You're not alone.
I like the idea.
You're not alone.
Get the overtime over with, especially for
I
football.
Agree.
Because with football, you have these very tight TV windows where you're already starting the next game at the end of regulation. In regular season, the overtime does not exist to find who's the best team.
Yes.
You had a whole 60 minutes for that. The overtime exists to get this game over with so we can move on to the next one. And that's because in American sports, we just don't want to deal with a tie. So this is actually just a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Get
no,
out
I,
here.
I actually am.
End the game.
I'm right there with you. And maybe for another reason as well, and that is we're going to an 18-game schedule, guys. I mean, we're already at 17. We're going to an 18-game schedule. You want these guys, let's say they play two or three overtime games, and they have to go the distance, and both teams have. I mean, the health and risk factor alone over 18 games, 17 games, in addition to what you're talking about, no, I actually don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Hey, T. Mill in the house, baby. Yeah. We're at Twin Peaks right here. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We're at Twin Peaks, Southwest Freeway, and Kirby. Like I said, T. Mill just came in the building. I should have known he would stop by and have his early lunch out here. Come out and hang out with T. Mill, ourselves. There's already a group of people who have come in. A lot of folks at the bar getting themselves ready because this is one of those days where it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
2-0 Creighton for anybody wondering.
Oh, that's right, basketball.
Basketball has started. It's 2-0, baby. Creighton. You're feeling pretty good right now.
Really? We're going that far? Okay. I didn't realize that we were doing that. All right. Coming up next, I actually want to return to the offensive line because we talked about Cam Robinson, and there's a lot of optimism, I think, just because we were looking at where this line was previously. But what does the line look like for you at this moment, right? Let's take this snapshot in time. How do you see this line situated and coming together, especially now that you probably have some questions as to where Titus Howard plays? Let's talk about that next.